3 John, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now, isn't that amazing?
Yes, sir.
The truth that is in thee. Now, that's an amazing statement.
Yes, it is.
Truth that's in thee. Well, Satan's a liar and the father of it. So those who are in the truth, Christ Jesus said, "I am the truth, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John 14:6. Those who are indwelt by the truth, the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ, and who are in the truth, and the truth in them, are not of Satan. They're just not. But how do you get the truth in you? How does the truth come to be in the sons of men? Well, it's by an act of almighty power of our God, that he puts the truth in us by putting the Spirit of truth in us. Our Lord Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, and he'll send you another comforter that he may abide with you forever, and even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive."
Yeah.
In whomsoever the Lord puts his Spirit of truth, they believe the truth, they're able to hear the truth, they rejoice in the truth, and they know the truth when they hear it, and they don't want to hear anything else.
Amen.
I don't want to hear a lie in the name of God.
Why not?
I don't want to go to church and hear a man stand up and blaspheme God. Mm-hmm. Say, "Well, he loves everybody." No, he don't. He doesn't love every murderer, every rapist, every robber, every man stealer. He loves his children of the election of grace.
Mm-hmm.
That's the world that he loves, and that's the only world that he loves. For God so loved the world that he chose in Christ Jesus before the foundation of this world.
Amen.
He got so loved the world of his elect. And he said of them, "You're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world." Look at John 17. John 17, just a minute. John chapter 17, verse 6. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me," whew, "out of the world." They're not all the world. The Father didn't give him all the world. He gave him some out of the world, out from among men. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word." Verse 9. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world."
Amen.
I'm not praying for the world. I didn't die for the world. I didn't come into this world to save the world, except the world of God's elect.
Amen.
I didn't come into this world to save the world of the ungodly. He came to save the world of his people. Look at, let me just read through. "I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for thine, for they are thine. And all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." Now look at 2 Peter. 2:5. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 5. And let's begin reading verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned. Now, these were the non-elect angels. They weren't elected in Christ Jesus. They weren't elected under his keeping power. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now that's not the world that God so loved that he drowned. No. That's the world he despised. Psalm 51:5. There they were in great distress. He had scattered the bones of them because God had despised them. Well, so truth in the heart is by the operation of God the Holy Spirit. He comes and by the word plants the seed of the word in our heart and causes it to grow and causes it to fill us. And so a lot of the days we walk around with the Lord Jesus Christ on our mind. Isn't that right? We walk around with the Lord Jesus Christ on our mind, not because that's natural to us. It's not natural to us, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them. But Christ, we walk around with Christ Jesus on our mind because of Christ living in us. Amen. By his Spirit. Amen. The Spirit of truth that the Father gives us upon the intercession of the Son.
Amen. Amen.
Christ Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us, and at the time appointed of the Father, he approaches for us. There's one of mine, Lord. Put your Spirit in him.
Amen.
Draw him. And the word means drag. Bring him in. Because I've loved him with an everlasting love.
Amen.
I'm thankful it's just that way. Because if I'd had any part whatsoever to do with coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd still be out there in the world, happy and content, on the road to hell.
Yeah, that's right.
If I'd been alive yet, probably wouldn't have. All right. Now, so truth, people who understand and know the truth, they know the truth. And knowing the truth, they're not looking for anything else. They're not running around trying to hear some other message. They want to hear the truth. Right. They want to be fed by the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. And the preacher that knows the truth, that's all he wants to preach. He doesn't preach that to try to please people, but he preaches that because he knows that's the truth. And the people want to hear that because they know it's the truth.
Amen.
And that it's of God and not of the preacher.
Amen.
So the preacher that preaches that's not looking for people to follow him.
No.
Those preachers out in the world are looking to establish and hold a big following after themselves.
Yeah.
But God's preacher's not doing that. He's preaching the truth, and he knows it's the truth, and he don't want to preach anything else, and won't preach anything else.
Right.
That's my introduction. Now let's turn over to Romans. And the reason I wanted to bring that out, well, actually, just to tell you the truth, it wasn't of me, because I wasn't going there first, but it came on my mind, and I about had to. And the reason is I can see that it tells us how faith is the gift of God.
Yeah. Amen.
And the scripture says, Romans chapter 4, verse 16, the scripture says, therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Therefore it is of faith. Well, what is it? What is it? What is the it that's our faith? We'll look back at verse 13. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So it is the promise that is of faith. Well, what's the promise? Christ Jesus. Well, it's, you know, you say it a lot of different ways, but it all amounts to this. That is Christ Jesus. It's justification by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his blood. Amen. It's perfect righteousness before God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Absolutely, absolute holiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the inheritance of grace. Every good thing that God has to give us is in Christ, so he gives us Christ.
Amen.
It's justification. It's full salvation. It's a finished work. It's what Christ has provided for us. It is absolute and perfect redemption. And it's eternal redemption. So it, the promise of all these things. Look at Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
In Christ. Amen.
Well, now, when you've received all spiritual blessings, you ain't got nothing else to receive. Because you've received it all. And you've received Christ. Look at John 14. John 14, verse 20. Now here's what we've received. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That's what we received. Christ is in us by his Spirit, and we are in him by an everlasting covenant relationship.
Yeah.
By the purpose of God. The purpose of the triune Jehovah, we are in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him, that is, of God the Father. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord.
Amen.
All right, so it's the promise. It's the promise of justification and salvation. Because of a justified state before God. We have no sin. Our sins have been put away by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're spotless and pure and holy in the eyes of God. We're unblameable and unreprovable before Him in love in Christ Jesus. All right, let's go back then to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world. In other words, he's the heir. He has an inheritance of grace. And everything belongs to him because he is a fellow heir with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is appointed the heir of all things.
Amen.
For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law are heirs, faith is made void, and the promise of none effect. Now, the promise and faith go together, because the promise was unconditional. God said, I will. He said, I will be to them a God, and they shall be my people. He didn't say, if you will believe, if you will work, if you'll do anything, he said, I will. I will be their God. And that means I'm going to justify them freely by the blood of my dear son, and I'm going to accept them in him, perfected in him. And I'm going to give them a portion of glory. So it's not of the law, because if it's of the law, it'd make faith void. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there's no transgression. You got no law, you can't break the law. If you got the law, you'll break the law. Look at Romans 5:1. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, not by the works of the law. We're not justified by the works, we're justified by faith. All right, let's move along. Back to Romans 4, verse 16. Romans 4:16. Now, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Now look at these next words. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now the end of anything is the goal that you've set. When you've reached the end of, let's say, Brother Jerry, when he gets to over to South Point, he has reached the end of his journey. That he purposed. The thing that he had in mind when he set out on the journey, he's reached that place, that point. He's reached the end of that purpose. Well, the end of God's purpose was that the promise that he made to Abraham and his seed should be sure both to Abraham and his seed. let me read that again. That the promise or full justification, eternal life, justification, sins forgiven, children of God, all of those things should be absolutely sure, infallible to all of those whom he chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. God saved us with salvation that cannot be thwarted, cannot be cast off, cannot be lost, because if it could, we'd all lose it. But it's according to His purpose. He's the keeper, we're the kept. He's the shepherd, we're the sheep. He's a faithful shepherd, and therefore we are secure in Him. Now, people who say that, well, you know, it's up to you to persevere. You better watch out. God cast you away right at the last minute. That's calling Christ an unfaithful shepherd. The Father hath committed our souls to Him before the foundation of the world and made Him the surety of the New Testament and charged Him with the work of bringing us to glory. Now, if He don't get that done, well, He'll get it done. There's no use to hypothesize about impossibilities. He will get it done. He'll bring us to glory. And it's so sure that the Father pledged His holiness. He said, "Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, your seed shall endure as the sun and the moon before me." He also said, "The Lord has sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So He appointed a great high priest in the covenant of grace. He appointed the heirs of salvation in the covenant of grace. And He made it sure that all the heirs should receive a full inheritance because He based it on Christ Jesus. It's all based on Christ. It's all conditioned on Christ. And it's not conditioned on us. Now, these preachers that go around say, "Well, it's up to you." Well, they're liars. Well, if it's up to you in the beginning, then it's up to you all in the middle and at the end as well. And it's up to you to find some way to climb up to heaven. That's not true. That's salvation by works. We're saved by grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All right, now let's go back to Romans chapter 4. Therefore it is our faith. Well, what's by faith? The promise. The promise is of faith. Well, how do we have faith? It's the gift of God. How do we receive the gift of God? God freely gives it to us. We don't do anything to receive it. God freely gives us His grace and faith. He puts the truth in us by putting the Spirit of truth in us. Those who do not have the Holy Ghost cannot believe this gospel. They just can't do it. But those who do have the Holy Spirit can't do anything but believe it. They do believe it. And they're sick and tired of hearing all this foolishness that's being preached around today about that it's all up to you, when they know it's not. Therefore it is our faith. Now, so faith is not something that you do. Faith is not something that you generate. Faith is not something that you muster up. Faith is the gift of God. God gives you faith. Well, who all is God going to save? Everyone whom He gives faith. Who does He give faith? Those who He intends to save. the election of grace. That it might be by grace. It's not up to you. It's the free gift of God. Not by your works. Good works, bad works. Not because you're pretty, you're ugly. Not because you're smart, because you're dumb. It got nothing to do with you. It's by the free grace of God. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith? Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Well, the seed is everyone who is in Christ Jesus. It's Christ and all his members. Let's look at that for just a minute. Look at Psalm 139, 16 and 17. Psalm 139. Now this is speaking spiritually of the Lord Jesus Christ and his members, that is, believers. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Look back at verse 15. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and I was curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. Before we existed, we were in Christ Jesus. Before we had a being in ourselves, we had a being in the purpose, in the mind, in the will, and in the love of God. Because he told Jeremiah, he said, Yea, the Lord hath spoken unto me. Yea, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee.
Yeah.
We had a being in the mind of God. Mm-hmm. In the love of God. In the purpose of God. Look at 2 Timothy. Chapter 1, and we'll begin reading verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Well, some of the afflictions of the gospel are being forsaken of friends and family in this world, as you all know.
Yes.
And there's other afflictions. There's stripes and imprisonments and deaths and all kinds of things. All right, but let me read that again. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us. You mean God did that? Yes, he did. When did he do it? When he chose us in Christ Jesus and appointed him our surety.
Amen.
When he put us in the surety of the New Testament, he saved us. When was Christ appointed your surety? From everlasting. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel.
Amen.
People's all the time searching for immortality. Well, believers have it already. We're not going to die. We're just going to move out of this old frail house into a much better house. And we're going to move away from this place that is farther removed from the sensible presence of God into a place which is much nearer to the sensible presence of God.
Amen.
We're going to look the Lord Jesus Christ in the face and be full of joy. And not only that, but He'll be full of joy to receive each and every one of us.
Amen.
He'll be full of joy. Look at Jude. Verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. His joy. We'll be full of joy, but he'll be full of joy as well. All right, back to Romans. Romans 4, 16. Therefore it is of faith, the free gift of God, and he gives it to whom he will, without regard to works. Therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace, just a free gift. Not based on anything about us, but according to his own good pleasure. Therefore it is a faith that it might be by grace, to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law or the Jews, but to that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That's all believers. Look at Galatians 3. Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. We are believers, are the spiritual seed of Abraham. The spiritual seed of Abraham. Look at across the page at verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds as of many, but as to one, and thy seed, which is Christ. Now turn on over to verse 29. And if ye be Christ's, well, who is Christ's? Believers. Believers are Christ's. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Whose promise? God's promise. God cannot lie. And he's promised. Look at Romans, back to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 28. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Every believer is a Jew inwardly.
Yeah.
And the spiritual seed of Abraham.
Amen.
Look at Hebrews 2:14. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Now, who are these children? That's children of the covenant, children of God. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and delivered them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For he verily, or truly, he took not on himself the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. He took on him the responsibility to bring the seed of Abraham to glory.
Yeah, amen.
Let's just go two more places and then I'll quit. Galatians 4:28. Galatians 4:28. I'm in Ephesians. Let me get back to Galatians. Galatians 4:28. Now we, brethren, and why are we brethren? We're brethren because we have the same Father and the same elder brother. Now those people who have a God who wants to save and can't are not our brethren. They're just not. They have a different father and a different elder brother. They've got a wannabe father and a wannabe high priest. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Well, Isaac was called the children of promise because he wasn't born by the strength of the flesh or by works. Hmm. We're children of promise because we are born by the power of the covenant of God. We're children of that covenant. God promised, made promise to us in Christ before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
So we're children of that promise. And I was going to go another place, but I forgot where it is, so I'm going to quit. I'm going to keep that promise. All right, dude.